as a regular occurrence. Are we okay to do that for the next little bit at least, just to make sure things are lining up pretty well? Especially because last week we had a hiccup with those, right? Or it was the week before, I don't remember. So this is the latest conformance report, and this is the latest interop report. On the conformance side, looks like measures doing wonderfully, so is transmute and GS1. We are doing a little under 90, which I'm not very happy about, but I know it's all about, I know the source of it, and it's not anything that is actually breaking. It's credential subject being an array or not validation stuff around that. I don't think it's anything that is worrying in any sense, though. On the interop side, it looks much nicer than a couple of weeks ago. We have the lowest interop at 96.2, which is ourselves, which is on credential revocation. Transmute seems to have gone to 100. So it looks like we're shaping up pretty good overall. Excellent job, guys. This is looking better and better.
Yep.
Let's review the PRs on trace vocab first, and then head back to interop. So on the vocab side, sorting by oldest, these are the reports. We have workflow cleanup from yourselfness. This has two approvals and a comment.
Which one are you looking at?
This is 855 that I, for whatever reason, did not link. There you go.
All right. Why don't we start from the oldest?
Do you want to try recording again? Oh, is it running now?
It's running now. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Wonderful. I think this is oldest, no? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I usually just do new and then pick at the bottom. Sorry. 853 is the oldest. So let's go through that one first. That one is by Russell, and it adds a common import credentials workflow. So this is, I don't think Russell's on the call, so I've reviewed this. I don't know if more people have. It looks like I am the only one who reviewed it. So has Ted, but his review was, I believe, on the title and on naming. I have changes requested on it, which is basically that while this seems like a common workflow, it does not actually apply to oil and gas, so I requested that to be removed. And Ori has a comment about the MILTAS report. The number for undefined terms is going up, and yeah, that is a little bit concerning. And Ted had a point about the naming. I feel like, oh, so the naming has been addressed, I think, or no, it has not. So I feel like this could be revisited with Russell after the changes have been implemented, but at the same time, the core of the PR, I personally have no issue with. So we could merge this out of band, for my change request if Russell addresses the specific point about oil. And I think actually maybe Ori just did. Or someone just did. No. Okay. I'm a bit confused what's going on because I don't see it anymore. The oil and gas. Does everybody... never mind. It still shows up. Okay. Happy to merge this out of band once Russell addresses that change request. Unless anyone has any other comments or anything else that they think should block this PR?
I don't want to block this PR per se, but I sort of want to put into people's heads that striving for the fewest words possible in all cases is not a good way to go.
And I agree with your request for name change as well. So I think maybe I'll put a caveat of... feel free to merge out of band, assuming the name change goes through and the oil and gas comment goes through. Does that sound fair?
Fine with me.
Okay. Okay. That is done. Next up is the Steel Tech demo credential requirements. This was super straightforwardness. Do you want to walk through it?
Yeah, it takes out the application for CIMA import license because only the actual license should be presented as part of the workflow.
Yeah. And I believe there's a different workflow that has CIMA import license, right? So it really doesn't make sense.
Precisely.
It has two approvals. I'm going to go ahead and merge this in. And last but not least, we have the workflow cleanup PR. Ness, do you want to walk through this again?
This, we had conflicting, we have multiple places where we defined the terms used for traceable presentations and workflows, which is never a good idea. And in this case, it was definitely not a good idea. So I kind of, went along with Ori's, the way he had structured this, defining these terms at root terms, which makes sense because it's a little out of the ordinary, these particular classes. So I think it belongs there. That means we can take out the workflow and YAML and the traceable presentation YAML and just point at our main document. The only term I was missing, I didn't have a URI I could point at, was for workflow, which is why I introduced that section with workflows. Now we have term definitions on our main page, and we can just point at that, which is what the root terms does.
Do we have a term definition for traceable presentation?
Yes. Oh? It is in the root terms.
Give me a second. Let me try and find it. Okay, so this is not a change that... Okay, I see it now.
We had it twice.
Fair enough. I think this has...
One simple note here.
Please.
Nis, if you look at the page of this PR, when you see the first fix commit, you'll see it's missing bold add ID, which links to GitHub user Ivan Jakov.
Can you share a link, please?
I don't know if I can put a screenshot in, but if you just open the PR and then your first commit says missing add ID.
You didn't escape the at sigil in your commit message, and so you're pinging a user.
Oh!
Yep, that's it.
I had no idea you could do that in a commit message, actually. I didn't know you can ping users that way. I don't even know if this does ping him or if this just...
It does.
Really? That's funny.
Well, at least
it's a little handle, though.
Yeah. Okay, that's funny. Okay. Is there anything that would block this PR from being merged? Cool. Go ahead and merging it. And then last but not least, on the trace interrupt side, we have a single PR. That is PR number 580 that has been open for quite a while, and there's been no movement on it for at least a month. And every week we've pinged Chris on an update. I don't think he's had the chance to do it. Are we okay to either close this PR, or do we want to ping Chris again saying we will close it in a week if there's no movement?
I would do the latter.
Done. And I think that's all of our PRs that we had to address. Trace Vookout Week today, right?
I'll just add a pending close on that last one.
Sounds good. Let me go ahead and do that. Done. Oh, done? Okay. All right. Trace vocab, least recently updated issues. Before we tackle them, did anybody want to bring up any specific issue they want to talk about, a specific topic they want to go through? Or are we good to go through our normal least recently updated flow? Awesome. Let's go least recently updated. We have issue number 711. This was opened by me, and this was basically the question of, do we want to include Stasis 2021 in our Trace context? This was opened way before the credentials v2 context mentioned any sort of thing about having status list. I don't believe this is still a relevant issue, right? My understanding is status list is going to be included in the data integrity context. Is that right? And then
no, it's included in the core v2 context.
Okay, then all right, fair enough. As we have addressed this, and I'm closing it as addressed. Next up, we have the internationalization of GS1 credentials. This is PR number 705. Nis, you raised this and then you pinged Paul. Do you want to walk us through it first?
You guys changed to American, didn't you, Paul, on the GS1 side?
Yeah, we did. So I think that that document's been published, Nis. Let me just make a note and put a link in here to that version so that this can move on to a PR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. So
that means we should update the Trace vocab representation of the GS1 VC data model.
Okay. Do we know how many credentials are affected roughly? Are we talking about like one or two? Or are we talking about like 20?
Yeah, maybe three or four?
Okay.
That's what I think. It's probably all the GS1 credentials.
Yeah. Maybe okay. Five or six.
Well, I mean, it'll depend on how many specific terms, right? Some of them will just not have a term that needs to be changed. Anybody willing to? So, Paul, yeah, would you be able to put that link in? And Nis, okay.
Paul, if you can add that reference, that's great. And I'll.
Nis, I'm assigning you to the task preemptively with the assumption that Paul is going to be adding the link.
Yep. So. Yep.
Excellent. Thank you both. Moving forward, we have 596. Sorry, Nis, you want me to scrub that? Just, I know you're busy with the, you have it?
Sorry, I'm a little behind.
Okay, I'll go ahead and scrub just that one, which is, on.
Great, this was for the previous one. So which one are we at now?
On 705, okay, Paul has linked it already, so Nis, you agreed to take it over,
yes.
Which is the update. Excellent. That is 705. We're going to be going to is 596. This was opened by Ben, which is an issue that spawned from a PR, so let's look at the specific PR. The question on this issue is IDs optional in the VC data model for Trace vocab. We're expecting our credentials to be interoperable. We are making ID as a required value to all credentials defined in Trace vocab. We can make that difference and requirement clear. By definition of our profile, we expect ID to exist in all issued credentials. Now, I believe this is done unless there's a specific
action
item. It's not actually.
No, but we did have a PR last week where I made IDs mandatory on like 10 credentials, which were just the 10 I was happening to be looking at. But we actually talked about it and agreed that we should do this across the board. And really that's what this is capturing. So,
okay. So let me make a task list on this. We should do this plus the board. I'm going to assign one person from each company to go through the specific, their industry specific ones. And that way we can get a head start on most of them. And, we'll tackle the common ones after. Does that sound fair?
Yes.
Any volunteers on the...
Yeah, that's me.
That's you? Okay. This to tackle... One second, excuse me. Setting this to tackle the steel credentials. Signing myself to tackle the oil credentials. I don't believe there's anyone from Measure on the call. Do we have any... I think it's Chris.
Okay.
Or Russell. I guess Russell is more around.
Yeah, and I think it's my impression that Russell is more on the vocab side and Chris is on the job side, but I don't know.
What is Russell's handle? Is it R-H-H-O Vendel, right?
Yes.
All the ag credentials. We expect that you require an all kind of blah. We cannot start it for foreign credentials. Just one. I agree, Ori. Paul, question to you. Do GS1 credentials require ID? Sorry, I'm mute if you're talking. Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to assign Paul for,
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, yeah.
Please. I'm not sure if they're required. When they're issued, they all have them and the document states that there is an ID, but I don't know if we have a normative statement there.
Would you be able to find that out and then just reply to this issue with?
Yeah. Can you give me the number one more time?
Yes, this is issue 596. It is, if you look in the chat, it's the last link.
Yep, gotcha.
Excellent. Paul, what's your GitHub, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you. To tackle all the GS1. And are you okay to tackle the GS1 credentials? And just give us an update on if there's anything there. Thank you. Excellent. So this is 596. It's ready for PR and we can begin. Actually what I'll do is I'll add check boxes to each of these so that we can check them off when we're done. Just give me a second. What was the markdown for checkbox again? Never mind. Okay. When I have track boxes, please make sure that you tackle them as you go. Next up, unless anyone had any other comments on that PR. Okay, next up is how can we best make HTS codes referenceable?
Oh, that'll...
Nis, did you want to make a comment?
I haven't heard anything and I haven't... I was in touch with...
No, sorry. You wrote a comment in chat.
That was about, I was just looking through the GS1 spec and I didn't find neither for or against, but probably couldn't just...
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe it's not in there.
Okay. Fair enough. So next up is 178. Ness, would you be able to walk us through it?
Yes, this was on, I was in touch with a few people from, what is it they're called? ITC. And this is, about keeping us informed of what they do and whether they have, they gain deeper adoption of linked data. They've been very nice and very supportive, but I haven't heard anything since last time, so there's no updates. I wonder if it's, well, I guess we can keep it alive.
Well, what would you suggest people do to resolve the issue, though?
Excellent question.
Yeah. Get a straight answer from ICT whether they will accommodate or even a negative that they won't. Then we should close the issue.
Accommodate in what way? So, like, what is the clear ask from them? It's, are you going to create a JSON LD vocab?
Is that- yeah, that was, that was basically the ask.
Okay. If they do not provide a JSON vocab style term, is there anything we can do to make sure that internally we are using the exact same format or the exact same thing? Because to my knowledge, we have many HTS fields. Yeah. Some of them are HTS NO. Some of them are HTS code. Some of them are HTS or whatever, right?
HTS, yeah.
So, first question is, do we want to change it or keep it? Because some of them reflect the differences in the individual documents, right? Some of them are, the document has HTS NO, and some of them are, the document has HTS code, whatever that is, right? And then on the other question is, do we want to standardize the same term name for it?
Ideally what we would get from ITC is a resolvable way. You give it the HTS code, the 10-digit HTS code, and it comes back and says stainless steel rods with this amount of copper in it, or whatever is the description of that code. Mm-hmm. That's what we would be, what we're asking for here. A term for this is an HTS code in itself, I'm perfectly fine just using our own for that. That works well the way we have it. It's just a stupid string the way we do it now.
Yeah, it's just, well, my question is, do we want to standardize HTS NO versus HTS code versus HTS versus whatever? Or do you think it's best to keep that as a reflection of each document?
That should, on the linked data side, that should be the same definition. But that's a separate question, though.
Yeah, I think that is a separate question. Last thing I'm reading here was that you followed up with Jimmy at USITC with the idea that he's going to follow the link here. Ori's comment is he's suggesting closing it. Do you think we should close it, or you agree?
Okay. Let's close.
Okay. Closing as not actionable.
Oh.
And also, I think there are hot mics, so please be careful.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem. Closing number 178. Next up is 204. This is me asking a question of what's the difference between measured and quantitative value, right? I believe we've talked about this quite a bit. NIST's action item is he's going to provide examples of the measurements, and then we can move that to a PR with the idea that this would allow us to standardize and, you know, use one of them, right? Was that a correct reading of it, Miss? Thank you. Oh, Ori dropped. Yeah. Was that a correct reading of the action item here, Ness? Provide example measurements, propose your civic group to report.
I think we have a duplicate of this ticket.
Okay.
Frankly, I think I'm not sure I've interpreted your question correctly.
So what your last statement says is provide example of measurements, then you're going to propose those examples here, and then we can move this to a PR, right? My original question is, what's the difference between a measured value and a quantitative value, and when should I use either, and do we need both, right? And if we are keeping both, we really get this, like, really need to put this somewhere in the doc that explains, please use this for that, right?
Yeah.
But
we do that with JSON schemas. So when I read your original questionnaire, I very much agree on that. I think I've been deviating. I think I'm off on a wrong track with what I'm then where I'm going.
Your last thing was you wanted to change measured the value to measurement, right? Which I think is a very fair point.
Yeah. Okay.
But we need to figure out what to use when, right?
Yeah.
Or do we want to just say that's not a thing we want to advise on in the first place? I personally, if I'm confused about this, anybody who's going to use this is also going to be confused about this, especially if it's someone who's using, you know, is new to this. So I feel like we want to have at least one sentence somewhere, but I'm not sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think it's a sentence we need. I really struggle to take notes and talk at the same time.
I apologize.
I don't think it's a sentence we want. I think it's JSON schemas consistently defining what should be provided, which we do all over the place. I agree with the original statement that we're probably not aware of which one we're picking. So I think it's rather a case of go through and make sure that when you actually have a measurement, use the measurement class. When you have a quantity, use the quantity class. I think that's what this really is. And then we've deviated and talk about precision of measurements, which wasn't your intent, your original intent.
No.
That's how I kind of read the history.
So the answer to the original question is, if you have something that is being measured, use measurement. If you have something that is just a quantity of a thing, use quantitative value. Is that?
That's what I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
And it should be defined with JSON schema.
On call, if you have, sorry, I'm just going to write down your point because that addresses the actual question, right? A measurement. Quantitative value. Now, on the measurement, moving from measured value to measurement, I think that's a separate question. Now that my question is answered, do you want to keep moving with moving measured value to measurement?
Oh, for sure. Yes, we should. It's a mistake to provide a quantitative value if it's a measured value.
Well, no. So what you said is you want to just remove the concept of measured value and replace it with measurement as defined in the UN vocab.
No.
That's what you had as your second to last comment,
yeah.
Right?
I think I'm just going to give myself a thumbs down on that idea.
Okay. So then we're happy to close this?
Yeah. Yes. Why not? Yeah.
Answered. Okay. Closing it as answered. Next up is 357. And I know we're zooming today, but I think we should do maybe two or three more and then call it because I think our number is dwindling. This is pair credential with their supporting documents. Related to number 350.
The intention here is to have examples, paper, old-fashioned analog examples alongside the JSON examples for business context. And it's a scripting request for a scripting update PR.
Okay. Last thing this has is...
I would just ping Ben to
Ben is assigned. Yeah. So I'm going to ask Ben if there's any updates on this. And if there aren't, we can keep going forward. But this is still a very relevant thing, which is please add documents. Okay. Excellent. Next up, clearly define revocation and suspension. This is 607. The requirements are use status as 2011 and then use a status change credential type, which does not exist, which exposes the duration of the change status. So this is, the point of this is how can I distinguish between a suspension and the revocation, and they need to be defined. I wrote down some requirements that need to happen. And then noted the delta between those and status less 2021. Ben noted that we need more people to answer, are these requirements being met by status less 2021? And then if not, are there other methods? I am going to ping Ori to see if he has any knowledge of this, Mike as well. Do you know of any other methods or ways of gathering these requirements and seeing is my read on status less 2021 accurate? And I think Pingy Manu might be a good point of this as well. I think he's also, he's one of the co-authors on status less 2021. Maybe a good way is to just ping those co-authors, right? So that's Dave Longley as well. Okay. Does anyone on the call have anything that they can weigh on this?
Well, I think it's the correct interpretation, but I might just be world in on the same bad assumption as everyone else.
Yeah. Capabilities, and if they're satisfy those requirements / alternatives. I think that's a good way of progressing this issue forward. Are there labels we can do for this? Like ask or something? Or a question?
I think there's a question label.
There's a question label. Excellent. All right. Let's do two more. Does that sound okay with everyone? All right. There's one that is for me, which was we should have a workflow that uses events, right? Right now, we do not create any workflow that utilizes any events. All workflows assume only documents, right? While this is ready for PR, I am holding off on merging this or like on addressing this because I am waiting on some confirmation from industry on some specific events. And if I write a PR now for a workflow example, I know it will change and it will not be nowhere near accurate. I feel like a PR now will just add confusion rather than help. But maybe Paul, if you have any example workflows that you think would be a good idea to that show abscess events, that you think this is a good, you know, sample workflow that is something that occurs regularly in the industry or something similar.
Yeah, is that supposed to kind of correlate with what we're doing for steel, oil, gas, e-commerce, and food?
Yeah, anything along those lines. So it's just a workflow that uses abscess events that shows across any vertical, really. The point of it is this is how you would use abscess events in a workflow, right?
Yes, definitely.
Would you be able to take this?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say transferring this to Paul. To provide a sample workflow that utilizes And then I'm going to assign Paul to this. I don't think I can assign you because you haven't commented on the issue. So if you could just comment at all on the issue, I can assign it to you. And thank you. And then last thing we're going to be talking about today is issue number 527, which is how do you handle one-off in the JSON schema to JSON LD context code? Ben says we need to update the JSON LD processor to support one-off from JSON schema functionality. Ori said on the call we discussed how domain and range might be relevant to one-off. This was over a year ago. Do we have a latest on this? To do a minimum reproduction,
how about using enums?
I think the issue here is how we generate the context, right? No.
Yeah, it is.
Because right now we don't, like, we just do not support one of at all. It's a tooling issue, and this is, we should improve our tooling, right? Ben is saying the implementation of one of is already possible with the current tooling, just not with the syntax already suggested. Suggest as we have way down with the proper use of the current tools, and we can provide guidance in the situation when this approach would be needed. So let me see what his suggestion is.
I would want to highlight Ted's suggestion. This is those RDFS terms. That's and all that. That's what you typically use for this, as you define ontologies.
So maybe I could ask for as an action item for an actual example or where of how you would go about doing this, because I don't think I understand how you'd be defining, like, does the JSON schema look like that LEI code global location number one that Ben is proposing at the end? Is that what we're talking about? Would that automatically create the range and domain?
No.
It doesn't, right?
No. RDFS is an ontology in itself for describing these situations.
So what would we need to do to actually accommodate this? I think Ben's thing misses that one of doesn't allow you to do both, right? To my knowledge, JSON schema one of allows you to do actually just one of them, not both of them. And the solution that he's proposing does not block both, right?
But it,
you don't
block on context. You would block on JSON
schema. Schema values. Yeah. So let me just ask Ben to confirm if we use current tooling, we are able to define one of as described above, and it will generate a context with both terms defined in it, and you would rely on the JSON schema to enforce that only one shows up, right?
Yeah.
In a credential. I think if you do that, that means that there's no way to enforce this on a context level, to my understanding, right?
Context level? No, not to my knowledge either. I mean, I won't pretend I know all the tags available, but
Ted, do you know if there's a way to do this on from a context way that you could
to do which to
so to generate them. A context that enforces one of what does that really look like?
There's nothing that actually enforces. RDF is very open. So like a schema definition is, it's descriptive, but it is not prescriptive. It's not like a relational database schema.
Yeah. So there's really no way to limit a credential coming in that has two of these properties when it really should have one other than a separate, like you can't do that on the signature verification.
It's a related site. Process. Basically you feed your ontology to a shackle engine, and the shackle is about, saying this is what you can have in here, and it'll error out if it contains something that's not in that. Okay. But
that's not actually something on the context side that we're generating, right? That's something
correct
that you would need to define. Okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to make my, if that is true, we can close this. Excellent. And I believe that is the last thing we were going to talk about today.
Should we label it pending close?
I think we should. And maybe one of the things we could start doing at the start of the week is just going through the pending closes at the beginning of the review. That way we can actually, or maybe we can, instead of doing least recently updated, we start with the tagged ones, right? Things with a label, either pending close or ready for PR or something, so we can actually get things moving faster.
Yeah.
Does that work for everyone? Yeah? Okay.
Figure out which one you want to do and put the new URLs into the standing agenda, and that'll make it easy.
Do you guys prefer doing we review things with a label first? Or,
well, depending on the label.
we can do either ready for PR as a review at the very beginning, and then pending close, and then we do the rest of the things. Right? But I don't think you can do that with it doesn't sort by label. You can filter by a label.
Change the query.
Yeah, you can filter by a label, but I don't think you can sort by a label.
How about before we make drastic procedural changes, try it out next time as a special one-off and see how it works. And if we like it, we can kind of...
I'm on board with
make
that.
It official.
Okay, let's give that a shot next week. And I think that's all we have. Thank you guys for your time. And have a wonderful rest of your week if we don't talk.
Thanks, Mahmoud.
Just a quick thing that I learned recently that'll be useful. It's applicable to... Well, it's applicable to a thing that I already moved out of the way. There it is. Issue 427, about sample data. It's a painful thing for humans to do, but it turns out that ChatGPT can actually be told, here's an ontology, generate some sample data.
Oof.
That's nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Would you mind linking the issue?
I already threw it into, but one second. Here's the...
Was it 47?
47.
427.
Oh, 427.
Yeah, okay. I was confused. Okay. 427. This is wonderful. This is a giant sample layer for only small-ish documents, but you can do it. Okay. This is really, really good. Thank you, Ted.
And what do you give it in terms of ontology? How do we, like, what is the ontology that you feed this from Trace Vocab?
Well, aren't we building one effectively?
Yeah.
If there's a turtle file or a bunch of turtle files that are interconnected, the precise language that you use with it is a little hinky, and you kind of have to poke around and figure out what words work better.
Yeah.
a lot of stuff is out there. Google searches are wonderful things as usual. Because people have been experimenting and their experiments are out there to be found. I found that splitter like yesterday or the day before, and I was just doing a really stupid exercise.
This makes it way easier. I think this is pretty good. Well, thank you.
I wonder if you could give it a full YAML file with
our big YAML file.
It would know our specific term tagging, but it would understand our JSON schema for sure.
I mean, what you could do is, because we have our small YAML files for everything already, right? You wouldn't need to do, like, anything that doesn't link to other files should be super straightforward. And anything that does link to other files, you just make sure to include those first. Because, you know, it does retain that context anyway, right?
Yeah. Which is so, back to the inlining that we are in the process of doing.
Yeah. So it might make it a lot easier anyway.
Yeah. And you can do it either way. The thing I was working with the other day was an SVG file, which was quite huge and filled with lots of white space and stuff. And I broke out all the white space and got rid of that. But it was still giant, and so I needed to go through the splitter anyway. But once I got it in, it did what I wanted, which was generate a plain text description of the visualization produced by the SVG file. So anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's really cool. That'll make life much easier. Nis, are you able to upload today? I think because you're the host, I can't do it. I don't know if that's how that works.
I think you can.
I'm happy to do it if I can.
You can. So as long as I wrap up the recording and
then I'll go ahead and upload the minutes. No problem.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you both and talk
to you. All right.
Soon.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.